Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
Steve-O!
Hooray for me!
Pray for you.
I guess.
That's what you said last week.
Did I say
that? You're getting more narcissistic every single week. Look at that. I even saw you turn your own mic up first. You're like, oh, my mic's the most important.
I'll
turn my mic up first.
You're the co-host, okay? This is my 1 hour
to
shine.
Then why does it say your 1 hour weekly therapy session with Nate Heitzig?
Because you're the pastor.
Okay, so who's the co-host?
You are. I'm the host. You're the special guest.
You know what? I quit.
Actually, the special guest tonight is your mom's.
My mom.
Your mom.
Who's
mom's
the special
in
guest?
The studio.
Your mom's the special guest.
Yeah. Mom's here.
No mom jokes tonight. We got Linnea Heitzig in the studio.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Right. So, it is.
Welcome to the show.
You've never listened to the show,
I was
though.
Just about to say, we played her a section of the show
she
before
never
the
heard
show.
It.
I apologize.
So that she would understand what the show's
to
about.
XM. That's
okay.
Radio.
That's cool.
If you were on there, I'd listen.
I'm an
probably.
Elitist. I only listen to XM. FM's not good enough for me.
You know, we're like a non-profit, like awesome, fun ministry, and you're choosing like the big guy over
the juggernaut.
And I don't mean
actually.
Like, I don't mean like
I wish
the
we
man
could
upstairs.
Get on XM.
Yes.
How can
Steve-O.
You make that happen?
That's what I was listening to the Christian radio station. I said, why don't we pitch Shock Therapy to the Christian radio station
That's
on XM?
That's what I'm talking about.
You guys act like I've never heard this. Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Howard Stern thinks he's shocking, but you guys could be much more.
Yeah.
With the gospel shocking.
There you go.
Like, wouldn't it be great if Howard Stern got saved?
I think it would be fun if we could do a Jell-O
shocking.
Wrestling match with Howard Stern.
What?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that'd be
take him down.
Strange.
You're going to learn so much about your son tonight. You don't even know.
This kid's frightening. It's my shock therapy.
Yeah, it probably
is. He saw
is.
My eyes.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah, it's going to be a little different.
She had never heard the show, so I told her before coming and said, Mom, if you're going to be on the show, you have to be shocking. She's like, oh, I can be shocking. And I was like, no, you got to listen to the show. So we had to play her a couple of clips and let her know.
She gave you the mom look for one clip.
I know.
Look
she
already.
Look.
I said,
already.
Pick your nose and Howard Stern.
Yeah. That's
on Christian radio.
That's still not shocking. That's like She
you
Ministry
wait.
Shocking.
You just
that's
wait.
That's like She Ministry shocking. If you said that from the pulpit at She, they'd be like,
oh, my goodness.
No, but, Howard Stern. Yeah. Isn't he that guy who has bad people on the shows?
Yeah, this is different, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says bad things, Mom.
I don't say bad things. What do I say?
Bad things, Mom.
You're filling her with lies.
You're listening to Man. Shock Therapy Live. We have two Heitzigs in the studio tonight.
Yeah.
We have Nate to my right.
Yeah.
And Linnea. We have a female perspective tonight, so I'm very, very excited.
There you go.
We rarely
I
get the female perspective.
Represent. So,
there it is.
You represent. Know?
Yeah.
Steve-O, in the house.
I want to see your new tattoo.
I didn't get a new tattoo.
That one with like the Quran verses written on your arm? I want to see that one.
See, this is what he does.
I
he
thought you guys already
me.
Said you couldn't do tattoos on Shock Therapy.
Well,
no, we said
people,
we can't.
People ask that question
and
every
time.
And
I thought
week.
You didn't want to talk about tattoos.
We
anymore.
Don't.
No,
but he brings
people
it up.
Ask every but week, I, every, but you bring it up.
But I always talk
well,
about
then
Steve-O's.
Gonna call in.
Steve-O has lots of bad tattoos. He has like swastika tattoos and Quran verse tattoos.
He does not.
And he's
got there is a skull and a crossbone.
And he has a Stalin tattoo on his back. Have you seen Steve-O? Steve-O like the Steve-O on the show Jack? But he has a giant picture of Steve-O tattooed on his back.
Yeah.
Steve-O has a giant picture of Stalin tattooed on his back.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not true, not true, and not true.
Right. It is true.
You know it is true. That the show's going.
Nathan's
we're already five
got
minutes in.
Two little cute birds on his back.
That,
cute
aren't
birds.
They so,
darling.
They're just so cute.
It was so sweet.
They
he
used
Janae,
to be cute.
They
now
went
they're
out
mean.
To got matching dating tattoos.
But now they're
aww.
Now they're mean
it
birds.
It was so sweet.
Now they're
Steve-O.
Angry birds.
I have a
they
question.
They take down pigs
oh,
and crap.
You're trying to make.
I have
angry.
A question for you. I have a question for you.
Yes.
When he got hit, because I remember the first tattoo I ever got, and I showed my mom, and she cried because she was so upset with me. Because it was like, but you're scared. And she, what did you do when Nate came home and he had his first tattoo?
I didn't believe it. Actually, he showed us up in Skip's office that they had done it. And I said, I wouldn't believe him. I kept saying, that's not real. You just put ink, rub it off. I tried to wash it. He goes, you can't touch it. It's trash.
Yeah, you
got
to take care of
it. Don't touch my tattoos.
That
it'll ruin it. And I said, yeah, that's not going to look. like that when you're 70.
Yeah.
That, now, let's be fair. That's not exactly what you said.
What did I say?
I remember the first one because it was birds and you're like a bird fanatic. You were stoked on it. And
I
you
love
really
birds.
Liked them. You've always been more accepting of it than Dad.
Okay, I'm past your prime for a tattoo, guys.
Yeah, but you've been
no,
more...
No, just don't put a tattoo
not
on
true.
Wrinkly
not
skin.
True.
No, no.
Actually,
but my, on my skin, you've always been more pro-tattoo than Dad has. Like, when mine, like, oh, that's pretty. It looks cool.
I appreciate
and Dad
the
kinda
art.
Just goes,
I think it is art. Like, I think graphically it's beautiful.
Yeah.
My mom, who I won't say how old she is, okay?
Has a tattoo?
She's getting up there in age. She's getting a little older. She's past the 6-0. Didn't get her first tattoo until,
uh-oh.
I think, last year. Was it last yeah. year or the year before? I kid you not. Because she was always not super against him, but, well, no, she was against him. She cried. I grew up
you
Southern Baptist.
You had an influence on your mother, and
no,
now she's and getting tattoos?
She got
what
her life.
Is wrong
she got a little bracelet
that?
On her wrist,
no.
and it's her life verse.
No.
And it's Philippians 4:13.
Say it
and she got
so.
It. I'm not kidding. And she got it on her wrist. And she shows everyone and she says, this is my life first. And she
I
tells
would just
everybody
say
about
age
Jesus.
Appropriate. Okay.
Yeah,
age appropriate.
Mom, you should get like Skip Forever tattooed on your heart.
No,
this is what you should get. This is what you should get. Man. You should say, Skip makes my heart skip a beat.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever used that pickup line on Dad? Hey. You make my heart skip a beat, honey.
Oh, man. That was terrible.
It's a good pickup line. You're like that, right?
That is amazing. That is amazing. And then you came into the world.
Yeah.
Oh, was that uncomfortable for you?
No.
Okay, darn. All right, you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to get your phone calls in, 505-338-3700. You can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we got one already anonymously on our email.
Yeah, which one?
Which is studio at mystaticradio.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was about to say his name. That guy. Yeah.
This is my mom's first ever question that she's going to get asked on Shock
Ooh,
Therapy because I don't want to answer it. Because
okay.
it's a hard question.
Really?
It's a
difficult question. Yeah. I think it's a difficult question.
Okay.
We're going to get arguments. We're going to get people to call in about this thing.
Well, I think it's because biblically, is it really found in Scripture is the problem.
Yeah, it's not.
That's why it's a hard question, because now it's going to become our opinion as opposed to the Word of God, which is what
yeah.
we try and veer away from.
Yeah, before we ask the question, the number one thing that I always get about this question is, you're taking away God's sovereignty.
Okay.
That's the number one thing I always hear about
I'm
in response
from
Christians.
I'm shaking in my boots over here. I'm
Are you ready?
Okay.
Wait,
okay.
what?
Here's the question. Hey, guys. Is it wrong to use birth control in marriage, whether it be condoms or pills? Is it okay? Is it bad? Thanks.
I don't think so.
You don't think it's bad?
No, I've used birth control.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
why?
Well, that's shocking.
Oh, man.
She's like trying to be shocking.
I know.
I love
okay,
it.
How many other people come on and confess?
That's true.
You guys have had some pretty rough
yeah.
questions.
Yeah.
Okay,
this
are you
true.
Putting it out there?
I am. I'll talk about my personal experience, actually, because... I was going to go ahead. I'm going to say it. I was going to get the snip after
yeah.
the second one. We were like, you know what? I'm done getting the snip. And then I realized I'm still in my 20s. And I even made the first appointment. I went out. I got the first appointment. And I met with the doc specialist. He showed me the little laser thingy. And I'm like, okay. And then we went home and I prayed about it. And I had the strong conviction not to. And I canceled my appointment. And I did it.
It kind of really is in the Bible.
It really is. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when there was Tamar and her husband died, and then she married a brother, and mm-hmm. then he died, and she married another brother, and then that brother wouldn't really go through with the actual sexual
act.
Oh,
that's the spilling of
the seed.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
And so technically, if you wanted to have someone call in and make an argument, that's what they would use. That,
right.
That was wrong,
mm-hmm.
that he should have carried on. As the kinsman redeemer,
okay.
the Goel, that he should have helped her have a child to carry on the race of. And that's what the Old Testament answer would be.
Right.
That, you know, it was really important stuff. If you start with Adam and Eve and there's no other people on the planet,
right.
populating the planet was really,
right.
really important.
Yeah.
And that was like his first charge was to, you know, be
that's
fruitful,
that's why God
multiply,
had that.
And,
if a
yeah.
woman
yeah.
was left bereft, that the brother would come so that the seed of that family. So, that there
yeah.
could be a biblical sense for that, but I'm just saying God loves children.
Right.
And so if you love children as much as God loved children, you decide not to use birth control, you will have a lot of children. And I love children.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have more children.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
So then here's the question, because this is the one thing I always hear, is by taking birth control or using condoms, you're taking the sovereignty of God out of the picture. And what if God wants you to have more children? And I've heard people even go so far, and I wouldn't take it this far, but equate it to the idea of having an abortion, that, well, if God has predestined you to have these kids and he wants you to have these kids, and by you using birth control, these kids that God has already picked their name and chosen what they're going to do in life, you're inhibiting them from coming into the world. What would you say to someone who asked that?
I'll tell you right now, me and Chrissy weren't planning on having kids and taking it personally again. And we got married, and 3 months later, while my wife was on birth control, we conceived Jack.
That's what I always say too.
And I was stoked.
And God is sovereign.
He is.
We initially, when we got married, used it, but then afterwards we wanted children, and I suffered several miscarriages. And so I was one of those people that wished God was sovereign,
right,
to bless me with babies, and prayed, and that didn't happen. And then I'd have someone like, you know, Steve-O would say, we were trying not to have babies, and we got,
right,
babies. And I still think God is a sovereign God. He opens and closes wombs, you know,
yeah,
despite what our choices are.
I really wish you guys would have had another baby, too, because then Nate wouldn't have, like, only child syndrome.
Totally.
Oh, my gosh.
We were on our way here. We wouldn't even get out of Starbucks. We wanted to go through a drive-thru. We're saying, pick up a Starbucks. I don't want to get out of the car.
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Let's do it.
Popping
I love
for
you,
Starbucks, and you won't even get out of the car?
Hey.
You wanted your mom to come on the show. This is all your fault.
That caramel apple spice that you're sipping right now, you can thank my stubbornness for that thing.
There, thank you.
Big
thank
jerk.
You. We got someone on the phone. Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
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 Hi, hola.
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 There you are.
We had you on mute, sorry.
There you go.
Yes, mate, it's Tara.
Hey, Tara.
Hi, Tara.
What's up, bro? Thing about birth control, I love what your mom said. God is sovereign. His will, he can't stop it.
Right.
I mean, Satan tried to do it. He's more powerful than any man. He couldn't do it. So, but also, I've heard of a pastor, and this was through James Dobson that told me, well, on the radio,
right,
that had a vasectomy and still had 3 kids after that.
Right.
So it's like, you can't stop God. There's no way.
Yeah.
He's a big God.
Definitely.
Even with aborting children, there's people who survive.
Right.
Yep.
But, okay, question. Miss Lanya, what in the world is lust? I've asked people, and I have no clue. And I'm talking sexual lust. I don't know what it is.
What? Like, define it?
Yeah.
Define sexual lust. That's a great question.
I have no clue. I'm sorry.
All right.
Lust is desire, but it's just a desire for things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a desire gone bad. Mm-hmm. And so you can lust for anything. I mean, you can lust for money, a car, your
lust
neighbor's
of life.
House. Yes. And so lust is just a desire gone bad. And I think let's just put it on a term that's different. Think of animals. Have you ever seen a cow lusting after a sunset? Or lusting after a Starbucks. You drive by and you go, man, I wish I had that Ferrari.
Right.
I mean, animals don't lust. They have animalistic instincts, right?
Right.
So the reason they have more little cows and whatever, calves, I guess, baby cows, is just an animalistic instinct. Human beings are different. We have a soul, okay? We have a soul and we have feelings. I don't believe animals really have feelings.
Right.
And so when we have these feelings, those are what God wants us to bring under control, that he would like us to control our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. And so lust is, you know, you're lusting after somebody or something else. And so it's, you know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. And so it's wanting something that's not really yours or should be yours.
Does that answer your question?
Yes and no, forgive me.
Yes,
that's
and no.
Okay.
No, 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 keep going. If it doesn't answer, let us know. What's up?
Well, because I talked to a friend when we actually went to Pagosa Springs earlier this year, and I asked her again, what is lust? I'm like, I don't even get those feelings anymore. And she's like, well, do you think that feeling is wrong, the desire for sex? I'm like, whoa.
No, the desire for sex is not wrong. God made sex.
So,
sex
is
good.
Right.
It's in the context of sex.
Gotcha. It's the context. Okay.
Okay, so like a fire in a fireplace is good, but if the fire gets out of the fireplace, it's not good. because it would burn down your house. So, you know, sex is great. It says the marriage bed is undefiled, going back to some of this, should we take birth control? The marriage bed is undefiled if you guys are agreed and you're married and it's in the right context, in a fireplace. But something that's burning outside of the fireplace, which you might call lust, a burning lust, then that's inappropriate.
But even got to take in context there, because even Paul talks about lust when he's talking. Yeah. He's telling people that they should, if they can, not get married at all. That he basically says that's better. But he's basically in modern vernacular says, hey, if you are so burning in your passion, if you're so horny that you can't control it, then get married, because it's better for you to get married and live righteous than to live in sin and have sex outside of marriage.
Right.
So Paul, in reference to that, talks about lust that, hey, he acknowledges that you have lust before you're married and that it's better to not fall into the sin that lust would bring you into.
And going back to the sexist thing, Tara, male, female, I think lust is more of a male issue in the sense that Nathan just said horny. For a female, we wouldn't call it lust. We would call it romantic. Chicks with romance novels can be as bad as a guy,
absolutely,
I think, with pornography.
Yeah.
Because you're
definitely
wanting the romance of, you know, could I just be married to Brad Pitt? And so in your, whatever, maybe Brad's too old now.
No, he's not too old.
I don't know.
Old.
Name his name.
Dude,
some,
he's still a sexy
Skips
beast.
Nathan's in love with Brad Pitt.
Okay. And we got issues there.
I have a question. Can I interject here on this one? And this is actually for Linya, as we're talking about, according to this definition, then does that make it impossible then for me to lust after my wife? Do I just desire my wife and that's okay? Because
you just
can't even use that word,
because you're supposed to desire the wife of your youth.
And lust
at Song
being a
of Solomon,
word,
he talks
right
about.
Oh yeah, that's some
her
pretty
Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
He does call them.
Hey, Nate, what would you call those? I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm trying to get you.
Look at that.
I'm saying it's appropriate. Solomon said he thought that his wife was beautiful, and he names her different parts of her. You know, your garden enclosed is my wife, is my sister, my wife. And he says, you know, let me come into your garden. And so, anyway, I think it's really important that you do have proper sexual feelings for a husband or a wife.
Right.
But
yeah,
outside of that context, no.
So then therefore, yeah. So you don't then lust, you just desire. It's in its proper place. You would never use the word lust.
Yeah.
Because lust is basically.
Well, not anymore, the way we use the language.
Right.
And you know, I even think that even outside of marriage, the desire to want to be married and have sex isn't necessarily lust. I think what sets it apart as lust is when it becomes the thing that's controlling and consuming your mind. Because lust is something that controls you and consumes you. The lust for money is something that when you have that, it's constantly controlling you and consuming you. That is what you must have. If you have the lust for sexual desires, that becomes something where it's controlling you and consuming you, where it's completely normal for a man or a wife to say, I want to get married. I'm attracted to the spouse. I want to have sex with them someday.
Right.
That's completely normal.
100%.
But lusting after them is a different level of that.
Okay. And you actually talked to us about this last week with having a desire to marry Skip. Beforehand, you had a desire to marry you wanted to be a pastor's wife. You had
Absolutely.
A desire to, yeah.
I said that Skip was the kind of the litmus test for Christian men. It
right.
was like, you know, he was the epitome. All others compared to Skip. I wasn't lusting after him in a physical, sexual way. I was desiring after him in a purely, really good spiritual way.
Yeah.
That he had all the qualities in a man of God that I desired. So there are desires that are godly desires. And I talked about that. My life's verse is Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. That delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And if you want what God wants, then that desire is a good desire.
Right.
Mm. If you want something that God doesn't want, then that's a lust.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I just equate
I love
this?
Having you on the show, Mom. This
yeah,
is fun.
This is so how about this? When you get the warm fuzzies in your heart, okay.
Yes.
Warm fuzzies in the nether region, not so much.
Well, exactly. So one can be attraction, the other one is lust.
There it is.
Yeah, you know,
I kind of like the way I
think
I said
we even
it.
Have to
I'm
distinguish though the warm fuzzies in the other area, because in order to have a spouse, we should, I believe, be sexually attracted to our spouse.
Absolutely.
We should desire to have a sexual relationship with them. So I don't think it's wrong to desire that with your spouse, even your future spouse, as long as you don't let it consume you and control you, that is why you're getting married. Oh, I'm getting married so I can have sex.
Right.
No. But you should still desire to have that intimate relationship with your spouse.
Well, you're speaking in strictly a Western culture term.
Yeah.
If you were before this century or other centuries, marriages were arranged.
Right.
Yeah. And no one worried about would they be able to get on with life and procreate and have children. Because some things really do come naturally.
Right. Yeah.
And so I agree that in the society we live in today, you should definitely have those attractions for your spouse.
Right.
But that's not how it always was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think in our day and age, though, I think in the culture that we're living in and in the situation that we're in, I think that having a sexual attraction for somebody is normal, but you shouldn't let it control you and consume you. And you shouldn't let that, especially when picking your spouse, let that be the deciding factor in who you marry or who you start a relationship with.
Right.
It should be on something deeper, a spiritual level. And you know, you obviously want to make sure you're attracted to them, but not let that control the way that you view your relationships.
I don't know when you have heartbreaks, but when I was single, I had a really great teaching in Youth with a Mission, this guy named Dean Sherman. And he would talk about this because this is really a tough issue for single people.
Right.
And when I was talking about the cow thing, you know, lust, animals aren't attracted so much to a sunset and things. And so, what he talked about is that sometimes we have the gift of attraction. I'm not trying to hyper-spiritualize it.
Right, right.
But human beings, we do have this gift that things are attractive to us. Things are pretty. Things are ugly. Things are, you know. So he would say for single people, if they saw someone that they were attracted to, that they needed to pray and ask the Lord, can I operate this gift of attraction? Bring it under the Lord. Because you know what? When you get married, other people are still attractive.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt might still be attractive to me. I'm not trying to pick on Brad Pitt. Okay. Michelle Pfeiffer might be attractive to
you. You're still picking. She's like 70, bro. Come on.
So anyway, just because I'm attracted to somebody doesn't mean I get to act on that attraction.
Right.
Because I'm married to Skip now.
Right.
So other people, you know, it's like he is my most attractive.
Right.
He's
my fair. Psalm
45 said, you know, my fair one, my loved one.
Right.
Fair means to be attractive, to beautiful to you. So when I, as a married person, may see someone attractive,
right,
I don't use that gift of attraction anymore.
Exactly.
So I tell myself, no, no.
So here's another question.
I am attracted to Skip.
Here's another question on that. I have a question on that. Is it wrong to acknowledge that once you're married, people outside of marriage are attractive as long as you're not acting on that attraction? So, for instance, I can acknowledge as a male that Brad Pitt is pretty darn attractive.
See,
as a male,
okay,
I can say that. Is it wrong once you're in a marriage union to acknowledge that other people are attractive?
First of all, I will say, Nate, if you are acknowledging that Brad Pitt is attractive, and Linya, if you are acknowledging that Michelle Pfeiffer is attractive, I need to pray for both of you because that's a dude.
Dude. Have
and
you
that's
seen
a
him
female.
In Fight Club,
but
bro?
I can admire. We have Miss America contests, and male and female
mean...
both vote. That's the most attractive one.
I'll tell you what.
I don't want to marry Miss America.
We were at a Christmas party on Friday.
We've gotten so off topic of the birth control question. we didn't even.
We
answer
already
that.
Answered that.
We didn't
yeah,
answer.
We, did.
It.
We totally answered that. And then Tara called in with the second question.
We didn't
and
even
the,
get,
yeah. Anyways,
we didn't even get part
so,
of it.
So I would say this. We were at a Christmas party on Friday, and everybody's talking. The guys were over here, and we're all talking, hanging out, and eating dinner, and the ladies are in the other room. And all of a sudden, I hear my wife, and they're talking about their celebrity crushes, you
uh-huh.
know. And then they come in, and she's like, "I can't think of anybody. Who's my celebrity crush?" And I'm like, and I'm not going to say them because they're really kind of weird to me. But you know, she's got some interesting celebrity crushes. In fact, you would probably dig them. It's like Patrick Stewart and Sam Elliott. I just said them. She's going to kill me when I get home. But and so I was like,
Patrick Stewart, the bald guy from Star Trek?
Yes!
That's the
weird
point of attraction.
He's what made Star Trek suck.
Attraction is something that's singularly for human beings, and
right.
what attracts one human being may not attract another, but what I'm saying is pray about it.
Right.
As a single person, I think you're as accountable to pray about your attraction as you are as a married person, because we don't act on all attractions.
Yeah.
And that's it. They were in the other room being cute and saying, oh, I love these movies and this person, blah, blah, blah. They weren't in there going lusting,
right.
going, oh, man, he is so... I'd love it if he got his hands on me. You know, none of that action was going on. It's just simply acknowledging that somebody is an attractive person.
You know what?
So
I want to acknowledge, my mom said the first shocking thing she said on Shock Therapy a little while ago.
Oh, don't you dare.
She said...
It slipped right by everyone.
No, it was fantastic. She said that cows have animalistic desires to make baby cows. Yeah. That was the first shocking thing she said so far.
Why
it was
is
in
that
reference
shocking?
To cows.
Because they have an animalistic desire.
It'd be like, use it in reference to people. I have an animalistic desire to make more little babies with my wife. That's shocking.
Well,
that's
what I'm asking you is, do you want to be God's supreme creation, a human being, the crown of his creation?
Yeah.
That God has made you unique, or do you want to be like a cow or a dog? Because dogs get in heat.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be.
That's
you
disgusting.
Go down to being a dog.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because there are dogs in the Bible. They do call people dogs.
Yeah, they do. And it's like those who return to their sin.
Exactly.
They lapping up their own
and
vomit.
His slop.
Yeah.
So if you want to be an animal,
go ahead. Yes. That's beautiful. That's the perfect distinguish between lust, is that if animals have any desires, they just act on them. That separates a human is you can have a desire, which we would say, some people would say it's lust, but it's not really lust. It's a desire maybe to have sex. It's a desire to have this. But what distinguishes us is we can withhold ourselves from that.
We're human beings.
And I think what makes it lust is, think about in the days of Noah, it says that they burnt in their lust for one another, their passions for one another. And that is that basically not just they had the desire to have sex, they were having sex consistently with males, females, and beasts.
Right.
And they were literally burning their lust. It took them something from just a desire to have that sex into a place where that's all that they were consumed
by.
So
you've got a soul.
Yeah.
And you've got a will. Use them.
We just spent a long time answering that
question. I really hope that helps. Does that help you, Tara?
It does, but just to give you, I don't know, truth, Miss Lanya. I, being a woman and coming out of a lifestyle of fornication and stuff, was extremely lustful, as they consider a man. And knowing lots of women now that struggle with lust, it's just as equal.
Okay.
For the physical feeling. I just wanted to let Miss Lanya know, because it's not just the guys.
Oh, no. I
agree with that.
I swept with a broom.
Yeah, there,
okay?
there it is.
Sometimes there are male attributes and female attributes, and sometimes there's a female that's more like a guy and a guy. Like we were just talking before the program, in high school, most of my friends were guys.
Right.
Because girls could just be silly. And so when I had a boyfriend and I still had guys who were friends, he didn't like that so much.
Right.
And they were just my friends.
Yep.
And so I understand that sometimes you may have an attribute that may be more male than female, and I'm sweeping with a broom, generally.
Yes, very broad brush.
Yeah.
There, because you're
so,
yeah.
So Tara, you may be an outlier, but there is such a thing as an average and a bell curve, and most people fall in that bell curve, male and female, on certain attributes. So
there it is.
There you go.
Thank you so much. Bless you guys.
God bless, guys. Thanks.
You know, we got an email talking about this very thing that you just mentioned about friends of the opposite sex. We got to take a quick break, but we'll answer that. Also, Christopher on Facebook talked about premarital sex before you're a believer, and then getting married, getting saved, and we'll tackle that as well. We got a lot of questions tonight. We got to get to.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot. And I still never got to put in my two cents about the birth control.
Oh, yeah, we don't care.
We talked about Onan. We had the whole thing covered.
I never got to say my part.
Okay, just tell us real quick.
Okay, so another thing the Bible tells us to do is to be wise with our money and to manage our money in a wise biblical way.
Okay.
I think a lot of people have babies and they're not prepared to have babies, and I think that's just as much of a sin as what someone would say that, I'm using birth control. I think if you don't have the funds and you're not ready to have kids, you shouldn't have kids because you're being unwise with your finances.
I will agree and disagree at the same time, because we were brand new married couple, me and Chrissy, literally 3 months married, still trying to figure each other out, have crappy salaries, didn't even have salaries, let's be honest. I was still like hourly employee guy, and God provided. And I'm not saying that you know, that may be the exception, but I doubt it, because right now we've been praying and financially I don't think we can have another baby right now. I'm freaking out because we have a 3-bedroom house and we're tiny and cramped and the boys are gonna have to share a room, and I keep thinking of all these logistical things. But my wife has this desire, and we've been praying and praying and praying, and I know that if this is God's will for us to have a baby, isn't he big enough to provide something like that?
Again, you're looking strictly from a United States Western point of view.
Right.
That people in other parts of the world, in India, don't get to go, you know, financially, this isn't really a good idea for
me.
And so I'm just saying, when it, again, with the brush,
you're
looking at this strictly from your point of view.
Once again, I completely believe that where God guides, God provides. We've said that numerous times on the show. But at the same time,
and it rhymes,
at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with being wise and planning for your future.
I agree.
And realizing that at this point in my life, I could plan and hold off and have a kid in a couple of years. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. Do I believe that if you get pregnant, it happens, God's going to provide? Yes, completely. But is it wrong to plan ahead and say, you know what, I want to have kids, but right now isn't the best time? No, I think that's good. I think that's a wise thing to do, is plan with your finances and what God's given you.
So therefore, you're saying to be on birth control, basically.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay.
But I also think a buttload of Muslims are having babies, and Christians should start having more babies so that we can have more Christians running around. And
now this is where your mother would say, what?
No, it's true. It's true. It's actually
a boatload.
What did he say? A boatload.
Oh my goodness.
A lot.
Oh my goodness.
We got to take a break. Linya's gonna spank Nate.
Yeah. Hey, but it's okay.
And I'm gonna spank him in his rear quarter.
It's okay. We've got a buttload of more questions coming up after the break. So
you're listening to Shock Therapy Live, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or you can give us a call, 338-3700, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Yep.
Yes. Man, that was awesome. Motherly advice from the mother hen, Mother Heitzig.
Not going to lie, probably my favorite first half segment of a show ever.
Really?
Yeah, I love your mom now.
Huh.
As if I didn't love her before, but now I think she just grew like four sizes in my heart.
Four sizes? You had the Grinch's heart. My mom just grew your heart.
Is it cool if I say that? Dude, I love your mom. Can I say that?
I don't know. I might punch you. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about if I want to punch you or not.
I'm not like asking her to prom. I'm just saying I love your mom.
Hey, just know there's a 6'5" dude who will take you down. Two of them. Two 6'5" dudes who will take you down.
Yeah, one quite larger than the other, however.
Yeah.
You weigh like 18 pounds. Your pops is like
18 pounds?
Yeah, dude. Come on. Come on. I love you tonight. I do. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you missed the first half of the show, you need to go to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We will have the podcast up tomorrow. In fact, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so at iTunes. The link is on our website.
Yeah.
As I said, mystaticradio.com. But, you can subscribe, and every week it'll just automatically upload. Yeah. Bam!
Yeah, check it out. We had a fun time. My mom was in here, and tonight is the night of women on Shock Therapy.
Yeah.
We had my mom in here, and now on the second
half.
It's ladies' night.
And it feels so right. Oh, yeah. Ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night. Say, and it's ladies' night. And it feels so right.
It's raining men.
What?
Oh,
no.
Sorry, wrong song. Wrong song. So we had my mom in here, and now we have my lovely wife in here, Janae Heitzig. Janae, why don't you say hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Why don't you say hello more? Like, be like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm Janae.
That's pregnant.
I have babies inside me.
Babies, plural?
No.
Okay.
I'm like, what?
Hopefully.
You do enough of that for the both of us. I just do the simple.
He does enough of that for the three of us. Seriously. This is the 1 hour a week where I'm more uncomfortable on the radio.
Janae, what's the one thing on your mind right now? What are you thinking right now?
I don't know.
What? That's not possible. That's a lie. That's a lie. I thought dudes could have their minds blank, but women are always thinking about something.
I can tell you what's on your mind. This is awkward. I don't know what to say. I feel uncomfortable. Is that right?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, look at that. I can read your mind.
So before the break, we were talking about lust. We were talking about birth control.
And we were talking about animalistic cows.
Which, you know, well, they're cows, so they're animalistic.
I just don't think of cows like being animalistic.
Lenya was talking about high school.
Dolphins, maybe.
And in high school, she had a lot of dude friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on, your dad not as stoked about that. And so we got a question, actually.
Yeah.
Culture shockers! Except culture we're shock shockers. Therapy, so not culture shock. But that's culture okay. Shockers. I'll still answer your question. His question's kind of two-part. He says, one, is it wrong to be married and have a best friend of the opposite sex? That's part one.
Yeah.
I say we answer that first.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah, dude. Is it wrong
to be
and have a best friend of the opposite sex? Absolutely.
Yes.
Because I don't have... if my best friend, JoJo, Joey Belleville, if I treated a female the way I treated Joey Belleville as a best friend, uh-uh.
Yeah.
There, Mama wouldn't be happy at home.
Yeah.
Because... I would not, you should not be like going to the movies like, oh, but it's my best friend. We're going to go see the new Twilight movie and hang out and we're going to go. No.
This is the biggest issue of it for me.
Okay.
I think that your best friend, you don't sleep with at night. Your best friend, you don't wake up to in the morning. Your best friend, you don't get in huge fights with. Let's be honest. Marriage can be tough sometimes.
Absolutely.
Marriage can be difficult sometimes.
Janae.
And oh my goodness. Marriage can be difficult sometimes. Marriage can be tough sometimes. And what happens is a best friend becomes someone you confide in.
Yeah.
That if you're having a hard time, you can talk to them. Say, hey, I just had a fight this morning. I have a fight with my marriage. Something's going on. And what can happen is if your best friend is one of the opposite sex and you don't have fights with them, but you're having a fight with your husband or your wife, then you can begin to look to that person and say, man, if my husband was like you or if my wife was like you.
You're finding fulfillment in somebody else that
and then
is not your
and
spouse.
Then it can grow from just a friendship into sexual desires because you begin to see things in that person that you wish was in your spouse.
Yep. Janae?
My opinion would be that, yes, your best friend should be of the same sex, but I also believe your best friend can be your spouse.
Amen.
I think... you should not confide in the opposite sex what you can't say to your spouse.
Right.
I would hope that you would be able to open up to your spouse and say, you know, this is wrong or this is awesome or whatever. You can say that to a guy if you're a guy. You can say it to a girl for a girl. But if you're confiding in another that is the opposite sex, again, like you said, you become dependent on that person. And their opinion starts mattering more than your spouse's. And that's not...
yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. And you know, I think that you hit it on the head because I believe that our best friend should be our spouse. And I can honestly say that in my life, my best friend is Janae.
Stop it. You're just saying that because she's
No, I'm thinking about not just like,
brownie
okay,
point.
We love each other. We have marital fulfillment, that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about like when I'm like, who do I want to go hang out with? Who do I want to go see a movie with? Who do I want to go watch my favorite TV show with?
Yep.
Who do I want to go play tennis with? Who do I want to go play catch with in the park? Who do I want to go mountain bike with? Anytime I ask those questions, it always comes to my mind, Janae. You know, I love biking. So I tried to get Janae into biking because I wanted to bike with her. You know, I love going to movies, and Janae will say it all the time. I said, Janae, let's go do this. She's like, no, you go do it by yourself. No, I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it with you. Well, why? Because I like you. Because
okay.
I'm your friend.
Now let me ask this, best friend.
Yeah.
It's about to get really honest in
here. We're the three best friends that anybody
could have. It's the three best friends. Okay, Janae, what are your likes? He said all of his mountain biking and he wants to do all these things with you. Have you tried to do things with him? Like, hey, these are things I want to do. Do these with me. And he does or does not do them.
Yeah, we're pretty good. I'm a tomboy.
She's a tomboy.
So it works out well.
Yeah, we have an awesome
sports.
Relationship because she wants to play baseball. She wants to go snowboard. She wants to play tennis. She wants to hike. She wants to do all these things that we
like. She wants
to
watch UFC on my couch.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Even movies. We like the same movies. She's not a big chick flick girl. She wants to watch action movies.
There
I mean, the more blood and guts that are in it, the more stoked she is. I mean, we watch, like, she's not a normal girl, which is awesome.
I hear you.
It becomes like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, my wife always picks, like, our anniversary movie, and Chrissy, you guys are very much, very, very, her favorite movies are, like, the Bourne movies. And, Mission Impossible, which is the next one we have to go see.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So anyways, okay, that was part one. The next part of his question, I feel like this answers part one, and I'm like, dude, I want to talk to you.
Wait, can we pretend like it's like Mortal Kombat, like
round two? Yeah, because we are gonna totally fatality this dude right here.
Fatality.
Next part of his question is this: he's the best friend of a female who's engaged. Her fiance does not approve of them being friends, so he was wondering if he should stop being her friend.
Absolutely.
Now, if the email had stopped there, we could say. Yeah, bro. Right? And with yay, high fives, and feel like we did the right thing. No, we're about to totally feel like we did the right thing. Okay, because here's the next part. Please understand this would be extremely difficult. As mentioned before, we are best friends. He, however, is controlling of her, often snoops through her texts and Facebook messages. Recently, he found a conversation that we had a few weeks ago where we talked about our feelings for each other and said how we both liked each other. She has recently made the decision to go forward with the message, but still second guesses it sometimes. What should I do? Dot, dot, dot.
Dude, and he's a married man?
Can I say
no,
this?
No, she's engaged. He is not married.
Dude, you're a jerk. You're a jerk. You need to stay away from her. You express to a married woman that you have feelings for her.
Engaged.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Engaged.
I don't care. She has a ring on her finger. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be disgusted with yourself. And you should never talk to her again.
Yep. Okay.
The person who she's getting married to, this is where I would say it. Even if I had a best friend who was a male, if it was a male, not even a female, if it was a male that my wife didn't like, she thought he was a bad influence on me, she thought that I shouldn't hang out with him. If it was my best friend, she said, I don't want you hanging out with him anymore.
Right.
If my wife said that about a male friend, I should listen to that. I should say, you're right. You want me to all respect that. I won't hang out with him. There's been certain people in my life that Janae said, I don't want you hanging out with them. And I have, for a period of time, stopped hanging out with them until their relationship or their walk got back on track.
Is that why we stopped hanging out for a time?
Dude, man, I hated you.
Is that why? Janae, really, bro?
You're a horrible influence.
I got better.
Totally kidding.
I got better.
No, but that's a male. That's another man.
Right.
Now, when it becomes someone of the opposite sex, it gets even more intense.
Now, here's my question, though. I feel like a lot of times we jump down the dude's throat and say, you're an idiot, which he is, but thank you for the email, okay? Please take this as truth and love, all right?
I want to be as gentle as possible,
but as real as possible with this email because, on the flip side, this woman, female, who apparently is his best friend, has told another dude she has feelings for him, right? And fiance's upset, and she's going to go through with the marriage, but doesn't know, and second-guessing everything, blah, blah, blah. She sounds wishy-washy, and she probably shouldn't get married, in my opinion.
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
But also...
She probably shouldn't, but the man's supposed to be the leader in those relationships.
I think he needed to step up, pull up his big britches, the big boy pants, and say, hey, you know what? You have a decision to make.
Right.
You obviously aren't going forward in the right direction. You have feelings for me and you're engaged.
Right.
I'm going to give you a time apart. We need to stop talking, stop all communication. And hey, if the Lord leads you or if you feel the marriage shouldn't go through, great. Come talk to me when you're done and you're broken up. Otherwise, he's leading her on, she's leading him on, really?
And
do
I would,
you want
and
a triangle?
I would, and as this guy who wrote the email, I would tell her this too. I want you to know that if you get married, I'm going to stop communication with you.
Right.
Because if we really do have feelings for each other, because if there really is something, some chemistry here, once you get married, I'm going to trust that the union that you're in is given by God. I'm going to respect the vows that you made to one another. And once you're married, I will not talk to you anymore.
Okay.
And tell her that. And then maybe she'll realize, you know what, you're the one I want to get married to. And then she'll get married to you. But once she's married and she's making a vow to get married to this person, you need to honor that and honor the fact that God has done that. And a man is supposed to be the one who's supposed to be the leader in that relationship. And if you are leading her – and that's why I say it's so dangerous because engagement really is the precursor to marriage. Engage is saying you're going to get married. And if you're willing to do it now while she's engaged, you're probably going to be willing to do it once she's married too. Right. So you need to cut off conversation because if you as a man, as the leader, lead someone into sin at the beginning of a relationship and you're getting the relationship started off – on bad stuff, you're getting the relationship started off on a heap of crap.
Right.
Well, then basically, where's it going to go from there? Do you think it's going to get better when it started off in sin?
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
And to the spouse or the fiance, that's the guy end, he's not being controlling. He's being concerned. He, again, is supposed to be this significant other, and he's supposed to fill that spot that somebody else is filling.
Right.
So he has every right to be insecure and every right to be concerned.
And
about
if he
what's
wasn't questioning the conversations that his fiance was having with other men, then he would be a crappy husband.
Right.
If my wife was like texting guys at night, and I wasn't like bothered by that, and I wasn't angered by that, I would be a crappy husband.
Right.
By not being bothered by my wife having communication with other men.
Right. Like exactly. And so. So Now here's a question. I agree that it's really lame and crappy, and the fiance, you know, was digging through Facebook messages and emails or whatever and came across this. Obviously, he had a reason to be, because truth comes out that, oh, they do have feelings for each other, and so he discovered something. Is there a trust issue already between the husband or between the fiance and his lady? Because I don't know, man. Digging
there
through somebody's emails—that's
not overcomable. I've witnessed it in relationships all the time where there's kind of a breach of trust, and really, it's a matter of you giving yourself to one person specifically, and that's what the covenant of marriage is. So if you're willing to commit completely to one person, I believe that trust can be regained, and that can be all
I've
better.
Seen that firsthand.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. 505-338-3700. If you'd like to chime in on the conversation, you can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com or facebook.com/mystaticradio. They hung up. What do we got over there on Facebook?
Hey, we got a couple questions. I want to tackle this next one really quick because then I got another one that someone actually handed me. This is our first paper written question.
Yeah, this is like taking it old school.
Dude, I feel like I'm in high school again and someone wrote me a note in class and said, respond to it after the It's really cool. I love it. This is our first actual paper question we've ever gotten.
Can we read it like they would do like on The Connection in the 70s? Got a letter from a reader, and it reads.
No, I want more paper questions,
dear Pastor.
I want people to bring me paper questions.
Okay.
Okay. That we need to start. We need to add that. Hey, you can Facebook us. You can call us, or you can bring
a
paper question to us.
You can pass us a note during third period.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Hey, the quick question we want to tackle really quick.
Yeah.
It's from Christopher Crocker. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
He needs like a rhyme about himself.
He sent
Piper,
this like what 30
like Peter
minutes
Piper
ago.
Picked a pickled pepper, like
Christopher Crocker rocked a sock and
cracker.
Gloopity gloopity gloop.
You got to be careful with that one. That could get really bad. He asked this one about 30 minutes ago when we were talking about lust and sexual desire.
Yeah, we're gonna ask it right now. I'm not gonna say okay. Let's just ask it this way. What if you have premarital sex before you are a believer, but later marry and get saved? It's kind of a vague question, so I'm going to ask it in the way that I think that you're trying to rephrase it. That would be, how do you deal with your spouse and with your relationship with God once you're married if in your past life when you weren't married and when you weren't a Christian you had premarital sex? How do you get past that?
Right.
One thing that we know and one reason why we say save yourself for marriage is because giving yourself to someone, you carry a lot of baggage in future relationships having given yourself sexually to someone. So how do you get past that? How do you get over that? How do you overcome that?
Right.
You know, this is a really great question. And actually, this is a question that is asked a lot, and it's a question that a lot of people deal with.
Yeah.
And it's something that I don't know, maybe my wife wants to talk about it, but something that she dealt with.
Oh, on the spot.
I was going to say, if you don't want to, I can take this. I can field this one.
No, here will be my first shocker to everyone.
Cool.
I wasn't a virgin when I was married. So I can say from firsthand that there is baggage. That when you give yourself to someone, even if you say like, oh, I didn't give anything to them or whatever, you do because there's memories, there's thoughts. You can't erase those things. There's dreams that are uncontrollable. It comes back to the lust thing where you have to take your thoughts captive.
Absolutely.
And you have to give them to the Lord. Can I say firsthand that there are times when I wake up in the middle of the night and I was dreaming something that was completely inappropriate, but it wasn't because that was the desire of my heart, but because of my past.
Right.
And that's why there are consequences for sin. That's why you are to save yourself, because you want only those memories and those moments to be shared with your spouse. Does it take away from my relationship with my husband? No, I love him dearly.
It can affect the relationship,
though. It can affect.
Yeah.
And it's something that not only did I carry. This is the thing. I brought a suitcase to my marriage, a suitcase full of stuff. Right. And Nathan had to accept that, but he, like I, will deal with that for the rest of my life. He now, too, has to carry that burden. And so when you give yourself to somebody else, you're not just giving something away, but you're also taking something from somebody else and asking them to take out your trash every day.
Right.
So if I deal with it daily, Nathan deals with it daily.
But the multiple question, I mean, the core of the question is if you've messed up in your past, but you're now a Christian, you're married, how do you deal with it in the marriage? How do you deal with it from here on out? It's like, okay, we recognize premarital sex is bad. We recognize we shouldn't do it. Now I'm a Christian. Now I'm married. How do I deal with the crap that I did in the past?
Well, I think like Janae said, I came into my marriage with a very checkered past in a sense that I was very sexually active as a teen through college. And so I brought a lot of baggage as well into my marriage. And, dude, I got to tell you, as far as the East is from the West, right, we are forgiven. So when you got saved, I mean, a lot of times we like to dwell on our past. We like to dwell on our sin. But as Janae said, taking those thoughts captive, you literally have to stop it at the thought because it will consume you. And I know some marriages that, man, because of these dreams or because of these thoughts, and then all of a sudden it becomes this emotional deal. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just keeps building and building and building. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We have all screwed up. We have all failed. We all sucked at some point in our lives. And so in a marriage, first of all, if you go into the marriage with these suitcases that are blacked out and the significant other does not know about all the baggage inside of the suitcase, that's probably not a good thing. Okay? You want to go into the marriage saying, look, this is my past. If you love me, accept this crap in my past. No, I'm not this person anymore. I have been redeemed. I am safe from this. This is gone. However, this is who I was. And you move on, really. I mean, honestly. Yeah.
You know, and this is one thing that I would say, more on not a marriage note, but on a personal note dealing with sin. Once you've given yourself sexually, whether it was before you're a Christian or after you're a Christian, once you've given yourself to more than one person, you will naturally have a proclivity to do that again.
Right.
So as someone in a marriage, recognize that and guard yourself against that.
Absolutely.
As someone who's had multiple partners, you're going to be inclined because of that and because of floating to multiple partners to do it again when things get tough. It becomes a natural fallback. Yep. So understand that about yourself and guard against that.
Yeah.
Once again, we all have certain sins we struggle with. If there's an alcoholic, I will not tell him to take a six-pack of beer and sit in a park and look at that beer and say, I'm not going to drink this, because he has a proclivity towards that, and if he does that, he'll fall. So as someone who struggles with sexual sin, understand that, realize you have a proclivity towards that, and then guard and put up blockers in your life against that.
Now, I will say you got to be careful, because when I got married, and I'm just going to confess this right now, the first 6 months of my marriage were very difficult for this reason. I grew up in a Christian home, and all my life, all I heard was sex is bad, it's evil, it's wrong. And then I had lots of sex, felt horrible about it, then went into marriage where it was like, okay, cool, it's beautiful and awesome now, and it's great. For the first, like, 6 months, I felt horrible. I'm serious, because of these, and it wasn't conviction, it was sheer guilt because of the notions that this is wrong, it's evil, it's bad. And I really had to deal with this with my pastor, saying, dude, I don't know what's wrong, but I feel awkward because I feel bad. I feel bad because it was wrong before, and I know it's supposed to be right, but that was something that I struggled with because it was something I brought into the marriage, and man, it was difficult. And so, again, I had to take those thoughts captive. I had to dig into the Word. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we renew our minds, right? We have to daily, constantly be renewing our mind with His words, His thoughts, His promises, because, man, if I wasn't in the Word and seeking God and saying, okay, God, here's what you say about sex. So if you say that this is pure and holy and lovely and awesome because I am in the confines of marriage with my spouse, right on. But it still took some time because of the baggage I brought into it. So,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Anyways.
Definitely. Hey, good question, though.
Yeah, great question, Christopher.
The biggest thing is communication. Talk about it with your wife.
Absolutely.
Explain the past and then guard yourself against it.
Amen.
Hey, let's go on to another question. Hear this. That's paper.
This is your note.
That's
this is
paper.
Your note from PE.
Oh, yeah.
Get
okay.
to it. You got 50
hey, check
seconds.
It out. A girl at church brought this to me, said that she loves our show, and asked me if I would read it on air and answer it. So here's the question. I really, really love the show. Me and my friend, I just put best friend in there because we talked about best friends. Me and my friend Grayson listen to it all the time. My question is this. I have these friends in Nevada. They're extremely good friends of mine, and their father died in August. The older one, who's 13, both girls has lately been scaring me. She's always angry at her mom and sister and basically tells me that she hates her life, and she listens to music that clearly states that they are in the occult, and sometimes she says that she thinks suicide is the only way to escape. They're a Christian family, and at first she did really good, but now I'm worried about her. How can I help her? I want to give her godly advice, but I don't know how. She never reads her Bible because her sister reads it to her, and she thinks she's okay. Any advice? Hey, this is a question from a girl, so let's have a girl answer it. Janae, what do you say?
First of all, I feel really bad for this friend in Nevada who is dealing with this. I, as a profession, actually do funerals and memorial services. So I deal with families who are dealing with grief nonstop.
Right.
And first of all, everyone grieves differently. There is no specific pattern or way about going to grieve and to mourn the loss of a loved one. So with this particular individual, she might have started out well, but that's just part of her grieving pattern to now go into a place where she feels lost and alone and feels like suicide is the only way out. Depression is very common, very, very common when somebody loses someone, especially for her. She's probably a young girl who just lost her dad.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's not...
It's okay to listen to Marilyn Manson now.
Yeah, it's not. Right. I'm not justifying her behavior. I'm just saying we all have our own specific ways of grieving mm-hmm. and dealing with things. So this is right now the path she's taking. Is there something you can do to help? Definitely. I would definitely make myself available to her as much as possible. We all need to have somebody to confide in. And if she's angry at God, she probably doesn't want to go to God firsthand. And that is a very common response right. to death, that you get mad at God. Why would you let this happen? Why is this going on in my life? I'm young. He was young. He's my dad. I have to now grow up without a father. So for her to be angry with God or her mom or her sister, she's just anger is definitely a response to death.
Right.
So she's just going through a pattern. My biggest advice to you would to be pray. Your biggest weapon is going to be prayer and to make yourself available. My first thing to her would say, hey, let's talk and just be a listening ear. Listen.
I agree with you 100%. I think part of the problem is when people are grieving, when they're in these states, they're not thinking clearly. But the last thing they need is somebody to yell at them and tell them, like, hey, your life already sucks. Here's how it sucks more because you're listening to this kind of music and you're going down another path, da da da, blah, 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 blah. We speak the truth in love, the Bible says. And
definitely.
If there's no love, dude, slow to speak, right?
Yeah.
Quick to listen, you know, like, and I agree. Be an ear.
You
know, I would say be an ear too, but I would also say that I don't think she's angry against God. And I just want to add my two cents because it says that she thinks she's okay because her sister reads her the Bible. So it shows that she at least believes that she has to have a relationship with God, but she thinks that it's enough that her sister reads her the Bible. So I think that it's okay in that circumstance to let her know, hey, just because your sister reads you the Bible doesn't
right.
mean that you're going to go to heaven.
And
sometimes death can be something that can bring awareness, saying, hey, you know, your dad died, but I believe if he was a Christian that he's in heaven.
Right.
The question is, do you want to see him again someday? And the only way that you can is if you personally have a relationship with God. Being in a Christian family isn't going to get you to heaven. And I want you to see your dad someday, but the only way you're going to be able to is if you have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And let her
hopeful.
Know.
Comforting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hopeful, not hell. You're
right.
going to go to hell. But
right.
hey, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to see your dad again.
Absolutely.
I want us to have a party in heaven together. And the only way that's going to happen is if you personally have a relationship with Christ.
There it
and
is.
And I would add just the resistance. Oh,
that's okay.
The music is
you have
on.
30 seconds.
Okay, the resistance that's there that she doesn't want to read the Bible on her own could be that she's resisting the Lord. Pray with
right.
her. Offer.
Yeah.
If she say, hey, will you pray with me? If she says, no, I don't want to pray, say, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And just pray in front of her. Slowly
she's
and
in
surely
Nevada.
She's going, which you can still pray
yeah.
over the phone. I encourage prayer over the phone.
Minor details, 12 seconds.
just be
yeah,
there
yeah,
for
yeah.
her and pray with her and for her. And I swear, if you speak to her in love, as Devo said, she will see the light.
There it
hey,
is.
Final word to you. Tell her that you want to do a Devo with her, that you guys will talk on a weekly basis and talk about what you're reading, and then maybe she'll do that. Yeah,
yeah,
say, hey, let's go through a book together. We can talk about it on a weekly basis. Maybe that'll help. Hopefully that helps you. I'll see you at church on Sunday, and you can tell me if it did or not.
There it is. Mucho thanks to Linnea and Janae Heitzig. We out!
Boom!
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.